Cooper and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
We welcome you live to Halas Hall for another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. Zach Zaidman with you. We'll be joined by one of the Bears' defensive starters in just a sec. But guess what, Tom? The next time we see the Bears on the field, it counts.
Hey, can't wait. You know, speaking from the eyes of a Bears fan, I think, you know, you all go through the stages of OTAs, go through training camp, speculate what could be, and then you get the chance to watch the Bears play again in the regular season and open up against Houston. And I expect good things out of the Bears when they go down there.
And anyone who's been paying attention to the Bears this offseason, whether it's the OTAs, mini camp, throughout the Bourbon A portion of camp when fans could come and watch the preseason games, one guy who's consistently flashed throughout the entire offseason and training camp throughout the preseason is the guy sitting next to us right now, starting safety Harold Jones Quarte. Welcome aboard.
How you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
So, Tom, Harold, I was looking this up. There's a school called the University of Findlay. It's a private university in Findlay, Ohio, and nearly 3,700 students are enrolled at Findlay, with more than 2,700 undergraduates and nearly 1,000 graduate students. This guy right here was one of them. How many NFL players have come out of Findlay?
I want to say two. We had another guy, I want to say, in the 80s. I think he played a couple preseason games, but I think I'm the only one who's played a whole regular season. So I'm pretty excited about that.
How long did it take, excuse me, your first experience was with the Arizona Cardinals. How long did it take you to forget that you went to Findlay and now you're playing in the NFL? Because I do think that eventually you got to forget where you came from. It's about competing against the competition across from you.
Yeah, it was almost immediate. You know, I was a tryout guy in Arizona. You know, I didn't get signed with a signing bonus or anything. So they had the draft class they brought in, and they had the guys that they signed after. And I was, you know, one of 40 guys that was just hoping to get signed to a 90-man roster. So, you know, I didn't really have time to think, you know, that I couldn't make it. I just had to come in and put in that work and, you know, get signed.
How did the Bears find out about you?
Throughout the preseason games. You know, I came in, first meeting I had was with the general manager, Ryan Pace, and we had a conversation, and, you know, he said he loved the way I was playing, and then, you know, they brought me here because of who I was and just to keep doing me.
So they didn't have any previous contact with you prior to you ending up in Arizona?
No.
So, see, it does matter. You know, when you hear people say that, you know, you want to put good tape out there, that's the term that people use around the NFL. You did.
Yeah. I had a pretty good preseason. You know, Arizona, you know, I thought they were going to sign me, but they wanted to put me on practice squad. And, you know, I actually got, you know, a couple calls from other teams when, you know, I didn't clear when I got released or whatever, and mm-hmm. didn't hear anything from the Bears, and all of a sudden, you know, I was claimed by the Bears, so I was pretty excited.
Did you leave Arizona with confidence that you could play in the NFL, or did you have to regain your confidence when you came to the Bears?
I never lost confidence, honestly, because, you know, when I went to Arizona, you know, I was practicing with those guys. They were really cool, and, you know, they brought me in, and they made me feel like, you know, I belong and I could play. And, you know, I started learning the defenses, and then I started taking chances, started making plays and building my confidence in practice and things like that. So, you know, once I got that and I was practicing with guys like Patrick Peterson, guys like that, I started to feel like, you know, I could play a little bit.
Last night before the game, you're not going to play in an NFL game. And so I see you take a knee before the game after you came out before kickoff. You know, you still the respect of the opportunity to be on the field, even though you've earned the right not to have to play in a game.
For sure. That's one of the hardest things for me. I've never missed a game before.
I agree.
You know what I mean? In my whole career, starting from middle school. So it was a little different for me, but I wanted to talk to some of the other undrafted guys just to let them know. And I wanted to tell them about my story a little bit and let them know that, you know, just last year, you know, I was just in that situation where I was fighting for my football life. So, you know, I understand, you know, where their shoes was. So I was praying for them.
That's the thing that to me is just remarkable, is that when you look at your story, a year ago, you're just begging for reps in a preseason game so that someone gives you an opportunity to do something in the NFL. And a year later, you're sitting out because the team feels that you're so valuable that they can't afford to get you hurt because they need you to start the regular season. That's an amazing story. And you said you were playing since middle school. It's not like you grew up in some farm in the middle of nowhere and no one heard of you or another plant.
Right.
You grew up in Columbus, Ohio.
Ohio.
You were in the backyard of Ohio State.
Yeah.
How did you end up at Findlay?
You know, I played. I got blessed enough to play for Columbus Crusaders. You know, it was an amazing Christian organization in Columbus, Ohio. And, you know, I went to Westerville South High School at Ohio, and, you know, our family, we were having a little bit of issues. Our stepdad left, so we moved down to the inner city. My mother didn't want me to, you know, go to an inner city school, so I went to a charter school that didn't have a football team. You know, so I was looking around because I just love football. I wanted to play football. I just wanted to keep playing. And I found the Columbus Crusaders, you know, and it was a Christian organization, and we just played for fun. You know, we played for fun and things like that. And I was one of the only ones to garner a scholarship. And I was just excited to get a scholarship regardless of where it was.
Were you the best player on your college team?
Honestly, I think we had a lot of good players in my team. I think we had two or three different players. And I'll say, you know, I was top three.
Did you play in any special teams, or were you a position player and that's where you used your value?
I played almost 90 snaps a game. I played all the special teams. I did it all the family. My coach, he said one thing that will help me is to play every special team and to show the NFL that I could do it all.
You know, it's funny because every game for you was like a fourth preseason game in college. There's a guy on the Bears right now, one of the draft picks, DeAndre Houston Carson, who's in that room.
Yeah, you see.
Because, right, and you're HJQ. It's amazing. but they have – They said at William and Mary they didn't have enough scholarships to kind of branch out and have the full team. So guys who were starters actually had to play on all phases on special teams, which usually doesn't happen if you go to one of those big schools.
Yeah, it was big. My coach actually, Coach Rob Keyes, always said that, you know, Harold, it'll be good to show the NFL guys that you could do a lot of different things. You know, I first came in as a receiver. You know, we talked to him halfway during the season. You know, in my second year, you know, we had a lot of good receivers and our safeties weren't doing too well. So I was like, hey, coach, why don't you try me out of safety? He's like, you know, I don't think you'd be a bad safety, you know. So he tried me out. It was my sophomore year. It was halfway. So I was going back and forth for a little bit. And then I think the last game of my sophomore year, I got a pick and then, you know, went from there. And then, you know, he started coaching me and, you know, coaching up my back pedal and my technique and things like that. And, you know, it went from there. So
it's an amazing story. When we come back, there's so many questions I have into how you went from that point in your life to starting on a Vic Fangio defense. I mean, there are defenses, and then there's a Vic Fangio defense.
Yeah,
so
for
him to handpick you, that says something. Plus, do you keep tabs on the guys who were playing safety at Ohio State while you were at Findlay?
I'm not going to lie. But that's just between me and you.
Yeah, see, I knew it. You can't ignore it. Let's take a break. We'll come back more with Harold Jones-Quarte, one of the Bears' starting safeties, on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears with Anthony Adams and Lauren Screedon, airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago. Go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears or watch segments on the Chicago Bears official mobile app. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman, joined by Bears starting safety Harold Jones-Quarte here, a live edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. A great story, a guy who about a year ago at this time, your NFL future is up in the air. Arizona lets you go. Bears bring you in. And now you've got to learn the ways of a brand new defense with a defensive coordinator in Vic Fangio that, you know, he's blunt. He tells you exactly how it is. There's none of this fluff stuff when it comes to Vic Fangio. And one of the most decorated secondary coaches in the league as well, in Ed Donatell, assisted by Sam Garns with the safeties. What was that like? When you joined the Bears and you're thinking, you know, you just spent an entire offseason with Arizona. Now you got to learn everything new with this team. Were you confident that you could make a dent and create a career for yourself in the NFL at that point?
Well, first of all, it was an amazing feeling to have to a blessing to work with a coach like Vic Fangio and Ed Donatell. You know, they've just worked with so many great players that, you know, that I looked up to, you know, Dante Whitner and just guys, just big time guys, Deshaun Golson and Coach Fangio is just such a great football mind, you know. He's just expanded my knowledge of football in just that, you know, that short of a time. But you know, it was tough when I first got here because the defense is just, you know, it's kind of complex, you know, because Vic is just, you know, very articulate and things like that. So I was just blessed to, you know, to be in that room and having a whole off season under my belt, you know, it's helped me a lot.
You know, you come into practice, you got Vic Fangio, they're playing the music so loud that if you don't pay attention, you're not going to hear the corrections and the details of the defense. So did you start paying attention because you had the luxury of technology now at this level? I don't know if you had it at Finley and, you know, you have, you know, just all the, you know, your playbook and you have all the communication and all the technology. Did you have to take advantage of it, like, you know, a lot because you needed to learn this defense?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of didn't have a choice. I mean, I didn't have the luxury of being a draft pick, so my future with the team was not certain. So I kind of had a pressure on me, and when we're out there, you know, with the music blasting and things like that, you can't cheat,
right?
You know, you can't cheat by listening to somebody else, or you have to know your stuff. You have to know your checks, and you have to get down, and you have to do it immediately. And, you know, if not, you know, it's gonna be pointed out in the film room. So you have to bring your A game every day and make sure you're on top of your playbook.
I want to hit something that you said earlier about, you know, being in a room with Vic Fangio as a player, because most people listening have never had the opportunity to sit and talk football with Vic. So what's that like, coming into the room and having him sit you down? Does he change the way you think as a defensive player? What's the key to understanding what he wants?
Oh, man, it's just he just knows so much. He expands your vision as a safety. Coming from Division II, I mean, I was actually just learning the position as well. You know, I in high school I played corner a little bit, and I came to the University of Finley, I was a receiver, so I started learning my sophomore year a little bit and coming in and talking to Vic and just learning different techniques and how to see more and just expanding your vision. I think it's been a whirlwind and it's been a journey, and I'm still trying to get there, you know.
Going through this defense, you know, last year when Vic came in here, Shea McClellan and Christian Jones, they didn't know any more than you did because everybody was learning it for the first time. Now you go a year later, you got Danny Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman. How much has their knowledge of the NFL and defensive football been able to spill backwards to you and Adrian Amos at the safety position?
It's been perfect because they're older guys. Having older guys makes things a lot easier for us because when they're a lot just more decisive when it comes to passing things off and just little tiny things that, you know, you guys probably don't see on, you know, the TV copy and things like that, but just little techniques here and there that, you know, that's just much more smoother with veteran guys, and you know, they help us get our reads faster and things like that.
You know, but, you know, going to training camp every day and standing on the sideline, by the end of training camp, I was really impressed by the communication down the line from corner to corner and through the safety position. Whatever formation the offense showed you guys, it seemed like you guys had a nice way of verbalizing not only what your responsibilities were, but making sure that you got the message, you know, down that rear line.
I think that's a compliment to our coaches, our defensive back coaches, you know, Coach Donatel and Coach Garnes. You know, there has been an emphasis for us to communicate, because I think last season, I think we were in the top of not giving up explosive plays, and I think that's a testament to our great coaching staff and us being on the same page on the back end, because at the end of the day, once we're on the same page and we don't give up big plays, we have a chance to win the game. So that's one thing I would say is we have really good coaches and they allow us to learn the defense well.
If you've been watching preseason football, I think for me at least, there's a snapshot moment of communication between you and the inside linebackers. I don't know if you like it, but you'll see what I mean. So Jarrell Freeman has this big play, this big stop against Kansas City in the third preseason game. You know, that's the big one, right? And it was our play-by-play man, Jeff Joniak, was so excited by the play, he just yelled, "Badoosh!" because the guy just slammed him down. You liked it too. So you go jumping up in the air to congratulate Jarrell on the play, and I don't think Jarrell saw you, right?
Wow.
You land on top of him. The leg wobbles
a
little bit.
His ankle a little
right?
bit.
He missed a play because he had to get the thing taped. But, man, the look he shot you after that.
I owe him some. I owe him lunch or something like that. Yeah, it was. Yeah, he looked at me like he talked to me. Come on, AJ, you can't be. I'm like, man, I was just so excited, man. And when he looked at me and he was moving his ankle, I was like, oh no. You know, but I'm just glad he's all right. And you know, he's one of our big time leaders there, and we need him.
But don't lose your enthusiasm, because I think that's really important, because enthusiasm is contagious and it does spill over to the rest of your teammates, whether they're in front of you or alongside of you.
Yeah, I agree. I think as a defense, having enthusiasm brings a lot of energy. You
right.
know, you know, we got a lot of guys humming to the ball. I think good things happen.
I think that's something the coaches want, that, because you saw it. You know, I go back to the week that you guys were in New England practicing against the Patriots. The first day, I don't think things went the way you guys wanted it to defensively. And the second day, you started to see that enthusiasm.
Yeah.
That there was clearly an effort made to step it up in every facet.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, I feel like, you know, sometimes I've developed I feel like I have to bring the energy, you know, sometimes in practice, especially in training camp and things like that, when, you know, those are the toughest days, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes, I feel like I have the energy I got to bring in, and, you know, the guys feed off of it. And, you know, and some days when I don't have it, you know, some of the other guys like Akeem Hicks and other guys bring it for me. Come on, Harold, I need it, you know. So I think we got a good thing going there as a defense, and I think it's going to help us.
When we come back with Harold Jones-Quarte, the Bears starting safety, we've heard a lot about the Bears front seven. There's some big names, but people don't know a lot about the Bears secondary, and I think it's a big key to the defense going forward. So we're going to find out a little bit about everybody that the Bears are going to see in that defensive secondary when we come back with Harold Jones-Quarte. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer with you. Bears All Access Live, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tune into the Bears Coaches Show with Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. This is one of them, Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, live from Hallis Hall alongside Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman, joined by starting safety Harold Jones-Quarte for the entire hour here on the show. You're one of the new faces in that Bears secondary this year. You got your start last year late in the year, kind of built the trust of the coaching staff, which is huge. But there's so many new guys that we saw throughout the preseason. And I know they say these preseason games are not an indicator of what's to come. But I think for the coaching staff, it was a big deal to find out what some of these young guys can do. What were you kind of looking at in terms of the young teammates that you didn't know about around you in that secondary?
Yeah, I was actually looking forward to a lot of my guys. Like, I was actually looking forward to Jacoby and DeAndre and some of the undrafted guys, some of the guys that have the chip on the shoulder, kind of like me. And, you know, before the game, I had a conversation with those guys. And, you know, I hope I inspired them a little bit. And I was just really excited for them and just to see them play. And I thought they did well.
You know, does your message come across because of where you went to college? I don't want to make a big deal out of it, but from Northern Iowa and stuff, you know, you have to, again, get that message across. It doesn't matter where you came from. It's about what you're doing now. And they've seen DeAndre Hall doing big things, using his length and really coming up and making big plays. Because for all coaches, you want to make the decisions difficult about who they're going to keep and, you know, who's going to get an opportunity elsewhere.
For sure. I think competition is huge. Yeah. I mean, competition is what makes us all better in any type of profession, honestly. I mean, so in football, regardless of where we came from, whether it's Finley or Ohio State, at the end of the day, when we're all here in training camp, we're going to compete, you know, and for that spot. And the person with the less errors and the more makes the most plays ends up becoming the starter. And I think you know, that's how they've been doing it. I think that's how it's supposed to be done.
Hey, look at John Fox's career throughout his entire NFL years. When you look at Denver, for example, where Brandon Marshall, the linebacker, wasn't a highly touted guy. He now is part of their core. Danny Trevathan wasn't highly thought of, but he developed under Fox, now got that big free agent contract and is part of the Bears mix. Chris Harris Jr. in their secondary. Then you go to this team, you starting safety. You have Akeem Hicks, who didn't have the most decorated background, you know, comes from Canada, Regina, and ends up as a starting defensive lineman, getting a free agent contract from the Bears. And then you have Jarrell Freeman, who went to a Division III school and ends up as a successful NFL player. So the proof is right here for any of these guys who don't have the experience that if you can play, if you can ball, you're going to be on the Bears.
Oh, man, It's a good thing, you know. It gives you hope and makes you know that, you know, as long as you put in the work and you put in the effort, you know, anything can happen, you know, and that's a good thing in this league, because once you have that, that feeling, you're going to go out there and bust your butt, you know.
What is the next stage for you? What do you have to prove upon, or what do you want to get better at throughout the season? Is it the mental part of playing NFL defense, or is there something physically that you would like to get better at, or is a challenge to you?
For me, I just like to continue to grow, just to continue to grow as a football player and as a young man, just learning how to be a better professional every day. I'm coming into work with the same attitude, the same energy every day, and just taking things one day at a time and just improving. You know, I think sometimes, you know, we look too far and forward and too far behind, and you know, for me, I just wanted to take things one day at a time and just learn how to become a better professional every day.
Did training camp go fast for you, or did it seem like a grind once you got into it? Because, you know, for you guys that are getting dressed, you're getting tape, getting your uniform on, going through practice every day, but you're also got an opportunity of a lifetime. So was it a slow process in the thinking, or did it fly by?
Honestly, it flew by.
Yeah,
it was tough, but it flew by because every single day I was competing.
Right.
Every single day, every single rep is being critiqued. You know, every single rep is going to count, you know. So you have to bring it every day. So I don't know. I kind of like it that way. I kind of like it that way because it keeps you on your toes. And you know, once you're on your toes, you're going to play good. You're going to go play good. And you're going to help the team win.
It's an amazing process, though, how every single drill you do is being videoed from
drill.
Up front. So you can't sit there and take a relax in a drill, mm-hmm. or take a play off, because from 7-on-7 to 11-on-11 to the individual drills, you're going to watch everything in meetings.
Yeah, you're going to see how smooth you're looking through movement and things like that. Everything is being critiqued, so you have to be on your A game.
Who runs the projector in meetings for you guys?
Coach Fangio runs it. Coach Fangio runs in, and you know, when we have our DB meetings, it's Coach Donatel.
How are they?
Yeah, I'm not going to say too much. You know, I'm just going to say, you know, when you
well,
have
I mean,
a,
they're challenging. They're
yeah,
position,
when you have
coach.
A bad day, yeah. When you have a bad day, you know, you're gonna hear it. Right. You know, so you just got to make sure you have a lot more good days than bad.
Now, on the flip side, when you do have a good day, do you hear about it, or are they more low key?
You do. You do hear about that. That's one thing about a coaching staff is they pat you on the back just as much as they get you. So that's a good balance.
Right, because it can be demoralizing if you make a good play and the coach just expects you to always make good plays, so nothing gets said. But when you make a bad play, man, they give you that glare, or they start barking at you.
Well, it's different. Like, Harold, they play a position that there's four guys, you know, the two corners and the two safeties, or a nickel-dime defenses or more, playing offensive line. You're never watching the play one time. You're watching that play 8 to 10 times every time, because everybody is going to be coached.
Right.
So if you have that good play, they're not going to sit there every time and go, hey, great play, great play,
right.
Great play. It's, hey, good play, now let's move on to the next. And that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, it's part of being a professional, too. I mean, you can't always expect, you know, part of it is, you know, doing your job as well. And you have to know football as well. They're like, hey, that's a good play. I don't need him to tell me I made
right,
a good
right,
play.
Right.
I know I made a good play, you know.
I do find it interesting that because of injuries that the Bears have had in the secondary, there are a bunch of new guys that you always seem to be working with. How challenging is that? Because you talked about the communication earlier.
Yeah.
But, and everyone's a little different out there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a thing when it comes to communication. When you're communicating, there's two different parts of communication. You know, there's the person who's speaking and the person who's listening. So, the person who's listening has to know what the person is saying sometimes. And, you know, when you work with a certain group, you know, in practice all the time, you guys are used to communicating and things like that. When you work with somebody else, sometimes it could be a little challenging, you know. He might not know what you're saying. He might not understand what you're saying. So when it comes in a game and you're working with him, it might be a little challenging. But, you know, those are things that are easier to clean up, easy fixes in practice and things like that. So,
you know, Adrian Amos, he's got quite a journey, but he's got to be inspiring to you because he's not a first-round draft choice, and he got thrust into a playing opportunity early in the preseason, and man, 16 games later, he's an NFL starter. So he's got to be able to give you some inspiration in terms of what you can accomplish if you put your mind to it.
Yeah, for sure. Adrian has been a good, a very good talent too, and me and him working together has been really well. Has worked really well, and you know, we're continuing to grow our relationship, and you know, we just want to keep taking it one day at a time, and you know, keep feeding off each other and getting better one day at a time.
We're visiting with Harold Jones-Quartey, one of the Bears' starting safeties here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. When we come back, you mentioned that one of the things that you guys were proud of is you didn't allow many explosive plays last year.
Yeah.
How do you start creating defensively explosive plays? We'll discuss next right here on The Score, Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Your Chicago Bears at Soldier Field this season. Select single game tickets available. Visit ChicagoBears.com today. Zach Zabin, Tom Thayer joining you live from Hallis Hall. Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. Joined by Harold Jones-Quartey, the Bears safety from Columbus, Ohio. And I'm guessing you probably didn't have a lot of family and friends in the stands in Cleveland because they knew you weren't going to play.
Nah, I didn't. Yeah, I didn't.
But What was the team that you grew up rooting for when you were a kid?
It was actually weird. I was just telling one of my favorite safety, back then was Eric Berry, but for some reason it was the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know why. That was my favorite NFL. It was more of an Ohio State thing.
Right.
In Columbus, Ohio, but when you had an NFL team, you were kind of out there on your own.
You know, during the break, we were talking about defensive backs or players of any position defensively. They can make instinct plays. Did you ever watch or pay attention to Charles Tillman when he was here? I think and so do you think about that? Do you think about not the peanut punch, but ways that you can create a turnover? Because I think when Tracy Porter got the turnover against New England, it really sparked the defense, and that's what the Bears fans are used to seeing. Did you grow up, grow up? Yeah, Peanut was playing when you were a young kid. Did you pay attention to that?
Oh, my. Peanut Tillman was like the most amazing, had the most accurate punch out of any defensive player I've ever seen. It was phenomenal. I think part of that is gifted. Like, he's gifted, you know, to do that. I mean, you know, part of finding your game is finding ways to get turnovers. And, you know, Coach Fangio preaches about it, harps about it all the time. You know, find a way to get the ball. You know, there's several ways to do that. You know, you can strip the ball, you can punch and things like that. You know, I'm working on my punch. I don't quite got the punch like he does, but, you know, I have different ways to try to work the ball out.
Repetitions, they enforce instincts. And I was talking to Charles once. He's watched a tight end catch the ball, and he knew the way that he was going to turn towards him, where the ball was going to be within him turning, and he knew exactly where to punch. So,
wow.
You know, it's just neat to be able to watch, you know, because now he's became a teaching tool in the NFL
for sure.
That he's done. And
for sure.
It's interesting for a young guy like you that, you know, you can never get enough of his highlights because those are the ways that's the effect that you're going to be able to have in the game.
Yeah, that's the effect that I want to have to help the team win. That's what, you know, Coach Fangio preaches about. And, you know, as a safety, you know, you want to be that enforcer in the middle, and you want to force turnovers.
You know, the thing that you look at going back to his safeties in San Francisco, both of them, didn't matter whether you were strong or free, they were both hard hitters.
Yeah, Coach Fangio and Coach Donatell love their hitters.
So that's one way to dislodge the ball from the ball carrier is you don't necessarily have to – a hard tackle, a clean hard tackle can dislodge the ball as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and sometimes, you know, that's the old school way to do it. You know, just come put it on them.
Now, I'm fascinated by this because obviously every coach has an emphasis on takeaways and getting the ball back. But was there an extra emphasis placed – beginning this offseason because the Bears were not able to get the ball away last year?
Yeah, I think so. I think we, you know, like I said earlier, when we were, you know, on the top, you know, the defense of not letting big plays. I think we led that category, but we didn't have as much turnovers, I think, that, you know, we could have had. So, you know, our coaches were definitely harping on, you know, getting turnovers, you know, just working the ball and, you know, interceptions and just finding ways to get the ball back to the offense.
I think your front seven is going to be able to help you guys do that. I think the faster they speed up the process of offensive football, not letting a quarterback get comfortable back there, maybe throwing the ball three quarters of a second earlier than he wants it, that's when the opportunity is going to come for you guys. So it is going to, you know, the back end is going to complement the front seven just like
sure.
The front seven is going to complement you guys.
For sure. It works as a tandem, you know. And I think we have a phenomenal front seven, and that makes our job easier. But, you know, also we're going to have to make their jobs easier as well, because sometimes we're going to have those coverage sacks, you know. So it's going to have to work, you know, mutual. We just have to find ways to win our one-on-one battles when we get our chances and just win our battles.
And this is one of those deals where I think, you know, when people watch the preseason, it doesn't look – what is he talking about that the front seven is that much better? But it really is vanilla. And then when you think about the coaches that you have, the athletes that you have, and now you can start to really scheme and specifically game plan.
For sure.
What's going to change? Obviously, don't give away the playbook. I mean, you can if you want to.
Right.
I don't think the coaches would like that. But give us a broad sense of what changes now that it counts.
Well, you know, the preseason, it's a little different. Coming into my second year, it's a little different, you know, when it comes to scheme wise, and a lot of different teams do it differently, you know. So, I think you can expect a lot more. We know what we have in the room. I think, and I think that's the most important thing. And I think we have a good solid group of guys, and I think we got a lot of passion, a lot of guys who love football and just want to make plays and want to help us win. And I think you guys are gonna see it. When the regular season gets here.
You know, I really like what I've seen out of Leonard Floyd throughout OTAs, throughout the preseason, everything. Do you think the pressure's different from a first-rounder to Harold Jones-Corte? Because we don't know what to expect out of you, small program, and you come here after your experience with Arizona, and then here's a guy that's picked high in the draft and first-rounder, and there's huge expectations on him. Where, like, getting a chance to talk to him or watch him and all that, is the pressure the same or different between you guys?
Well, I don't know how that feels, but I could imagine it's probably a little different. I always used to say, you know, coming in as undrafted was always a good thing and a bad thing because, you know, nobody expects a lot much from you. You know, you just kind of have to find your own motivation. You know, you come in, nobody knows your name, and you know, you're just another body for a while until you start to kind of, you know, earn some plays and do things like that. So that all that motivates you every single day. You know what I mean? I couldn't imagine being a first rounder and coming out of, you know, out of college and having all that money and all that things like that. So I don't know what. You know, what his pressure is like, I couldn't imagine.
You know, a unique thing about undrafted free agents, the center I played next to is Jay Hilgenberg, undrafted free agent center out of University of Iowa, became a 7-time Pro Bowler. Mm. And it sticks with him to now. You know, he's 58, 57, 58 years old. And if you talk football, he still talks about the bitterness but the accomplishment of being a free agent.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's something that's never going to go away from you.
And I don't think so.
but you know, I think people in the world of sports admire you because of your resiliency and your confidence within yourself to know, look, I deserve to be here, and
yeah.
I can earn this opportunity.
I think that, you know, my story and other people with similar stories like mine, I think, you know, people relate more to it because not everybody can be the first rounder,
right.
Or not everybody can be, but, you know, more people can be an undrafted because, you know, it's, you know, once you get an opportunity, no matter where it's from in any part of life, you know, you have to take advantage of it. You know, you can't, you know, say you're not, you know, he's better than me or this and that. You just have to have confidence in yourself and, you know, put in the work and you can accomplish whatever you put your mind to.
I had a long talk with Mark Mariani about this yesterday before the game, and he pointed out that, you know, you have probably more than 700 transactions that are going to take place over the next couple of days as teams look to move the roster down to 53. And you had a bunch of guys across the league yesterday putting on a helmet in a competitive situation for maybe the last time in their entire lives. They've been playing probably since the ages of 7 or 8, and that's it. It's over, you know, if they don't make a play. And I think that kind of pressure, because think about it, if you're a first-round pick, you know you're afforded some mistakes, and teams will be a little bit more lenient. You're going to get more opportunities. But someone like Harold, you know, you're going to get minimal reps. And if you make mistakes with those minimal reps, that's it.
Yeah.
You're not going to get another shot. No one's going to feel sorry for you. So that kind of pressure from the day that you walk into an NFL facility, I think that's a lot harder to play with than knowing that you're secure from a financial standpoint,
yeah,
and all that kind of stuff.
It's depending on who you speak to. I wouldn't change my story for anything. I'm proud of where I came from. I'm proud of the school that I went to. I'm proud of the Columbus Crusaders. I wouldn't change a thing. I'm proud of who I am.
But, you know, too, it's different because you get guys that are drafted high. No matter what team they play for, they probably haven't been a big contributor on special teams for a while because they have a high profile in their college program. That's not it for you.
No.
If you don't contribute on special teams, if you don't show incredible enthusiasm on kickoff coverage, on punt return, punt, every team that Jeff Rogers, the special team coordinator, wants to put you on, then you're not going to increase your value here.
Yeah.
And that's the way you create value, by being bigger than just being a position player where you're going to be a major contributor on that fourth phase.
For sure, for sure. I also think part of that was most my college coach, Rob Keyes. I think he instilled that in me. I was, you know, one of the best players on our team. And I was on all the special teams in college, you know, and some of our offensive players weren't, you know. And I was always like, hey, you know, because I'll get 90 plays again.
Did you return in college?
Yeah, I did.
I was
a kick returner, and I caught a couple punt returns in my day.
Could you? What about if they had to tap your potential in the NFL?
Look at the smile on his face. Oh, man. I mean, I'll jump at the opportunity. You know, I loved it. I missed that part of the game, but, you know. I love this part, too. So.
Just for the record, Devin Hester started as a corner before moving to wide receiver, and obviously the rest is history. Just something you want to consider, you know, as you look to what you could potentially end up doing on special teams. And, you know, the way the kickoff, now the touchback being at the 25, I'm telling you, there are going to be a lot of kicks returned this year.
Yeah.
Harold Jones-Corte is our guest. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Kickoff Bears season Chicago style at the first ever. I'll tell you why I'm laughing in just a little bit. Kickoff Bears season Chicago style at the first ever Miller Lite Chicago Bears block party on Saturday, September 10th at Chicago's Wheat Street District. Visit ChicagoBears.com for details. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears safety Harold Jones-Corte is with us. And the reason I'm laughing is we've talked about a lot of different things over the years during breaks with guys here on Bears All Access, and we're live from Hallis Hall. This was a first. We started talking about, you know, Tom was giving his advice in terms of making sure.
I was offering advice.
That's
giving
true.
Advice is
very
different
true.
Than offering.
Absolutely. But but it turned into
you giving bad advice.
No, I'm not in a position to give advice. I didn't play, and therefore my advice means nothing.
Well, the subject was that when you're a young guy, and you're having an opportunity to earn an income that very few people do, be sensible about your earnings. And it's not when you go on away trips 8 times a year, you know, it's not a fashion show. You're getting on a business trip with 50, 75 other work cohorts. And it's not about, you know, the fact, it's just being sensible about it. That's all that I was encouraging.
Right, but keep in mind, you have all these national TV cameras that capture every player coming off the bus, that walk, that that 35-second walk from the bus to the locker room.
Right, but you're on TV in your uniform for 3 hours. So I don't care what you look like in a $10,000 suit for 5 seconds. I want to see what you look like wearing number 29 making plays for the Chicago Bears. That's the way you're going to earn your keep.
Let's find out where Harold's right. He's living it.
Right.
He's
Sorry,
living
Harold.
It. So
you guys want to ask me what I think?
Yes. What do you think?
I mean, you know, when it comes to fashion and things like that, it's about you expressing yourself. I honestly don't really care what anybody else thinks when it comes to that, because I'm gonna dress the way I want to dress, to present myself the way I want to present myself, and it's all about, you know, self-esteem and, you know, showing your personality, and that's why people what they do.
Offensive linemen never look good in clothes anyways, because we're 300 pounders just squeezing in, right?
Yeah, you sound like an offensive lineman, you know. You guys are just straight vanilla, man.
Right.
You guys don't need all that stuff.
So what is HJQ fashion?
What is HJQ fashion? It's unique. It's different. It's me. I don't know. You guys will just have to see it.
See, so there's a little bit of it. I mean, it's just they say the further you get away from the line of scrimmage,
right,
the more style you have to have.
These guys can go into a store and buy clothes, you know, throughout their lifetime that they look good in. When you go to, you know, Barry's Big and Tall, you know, you don't have, you know, that opportunity. So when we go to Houston in a couple weeks, we're going to be able to see a sharp dressed man.
Who is who's the guy in that locker room that it's all about fashion for them? Who's the GQ of the locker room?
Who's the GQ? I think we have a couple of GQs. I think we try to compete. That's what that is.
Right.
You know, that's what that is we're competing with our fashion. Like, hey, you know, when you see somebody with, you know, something that you recognize, you're like, hey, that's this, that's that. And like, that's sharp. You know what I'm saying? So we're not doing it for the outside fans, or, you know, we're doing it for each other, kind of expressing ourselves to our teammates. Like, hey, you know, I got this kind of style, and I like that. You know, that's kind of what it is. It's a teammate. It's a football thing. You're just expressing ourselves.
You're not going to bring the Ezekiel Elliott crop shirt like in the draft this year.
No, I'm not going to take it that extreme. But, you know, we work hard, you know, for our money and things like that. So when it comes to, you know, things like, you know, fashion and expressing yourself, you know, it's the fun. It's right. Some of the fun things.
Is it more classic cool, or do you want to stand out?
Kind of different. It depends on your personality. I mean, honestly, it depends on who you are. You just be yourself.
Are you the same guy every week, or do you change?
I change. It depends on how I feel. Honestly, I don't plan it. You know,
right.
I just go in the closet and pick something out, and, you know, depending on how I feel, and go with it.
Well, the old adage: you look good, you play good.
Yeah, you feel good, you play good.
Right.
You know what Deion said.
Must be the money. That's what
you look good, you play good, you feel good, you know, all that.
It's whatever gets you to where you need to go.
Yeah.
Right? That's all right. So let's talk a little bit about, as we head toward the regular season here, and tough test in Houston. How do you prepare for a team that has a new quarterback and they're learning the quarterback, just like you're trying to learn what kind of offense they're going to run with that quarterback? You played them last year in Brock Osweiler, but now you have all these new weapons around him. They do have some explosive receivers.
Yeah. Houston's a good team. It's a good team, and I'm looking forward to playing them. We played Brock Osweiler last year, and we have some of that tape that we're going to look at as well. And, you know, we have the preseason games that we're going to look at as well. So, it's going to be interesting. The first game is always, you know, kind of hard because it's unscouted a little bit. You never really know what, you know, teams are going to be doing in a certain year. So, it's going to be a fun experience.
It's amazing, though, for the tempo of preseason. You know, first game you go in, you're going to play 10 or 12 plays of preseason. Then it amps up throughout the preseason. But there's nothing like the way the dial's turned up when it gets to the regular season, because now – You're there. You're for four quarters. There is no looking to come out, no substitution and stuff. So it's kind of fun in the buildup of, you know, when you make that trip to the Houston Stadium and it's regular for kickoff a regular season.
Yeah, it's going to be fun and exciting. This is new to me because This time last year, I was playing every snap in the preseason, so it's going to be a new experience for me coming from pacing myself in these four preseason games to I'm starting this game. So it's going to be good.
There are so many young players on this team, a lot of first-year guys that have not done it before. You just went through it last year. What advice can you give some of these guys to get ready for how, like what Tom was saying, the dial's going to be turned up a big notch. There's nothing that you can really take from the preseason to kind of prepare you for it, that tempo that they're going to face when the regular season starts.
Well, one thing that I would advise that I would give them is to keep their dial up. I mean, you know, preseason and regular season should mean the same for you. I mean, honestly, I'm as an undrafted free agent, it meant the same to me. So I think it should mean the same to a drafted guy. You know what I mean? Because when you're a drafted guy, you're still a rookie. You know, you still have to prove yourself to not only your coaching staff, but your teammates as well, you know, that you can play football. So,
do you feel that, you know, the amount of information that you have to absorb during the preseason, because they're trying to put everything in so you know what you're going to use during the regular season, is it not easier in the sense, but is there less information that you have to absorb during the regular season because you're game planning specifically? Or is it still about using everything that you've installed during training camp? Or is it cut down so you guys know what the plan is?
Well, I mean, you get training camp is where you learn all the plays.
Right.
You learn all the plays and you master them and you sharpen them. And it's just very textbook and very simple. And then when you start getting into game planning, you get to anticipate different things. That's one thing I wanted to tell you guys about, you know, preseason games. You know, we know what we have in the room because, you know, preseason, we don't do much game planning. You know,
right.
We're just out there playing vanilla football. And, you know, when you game plan, that's when you get turnovers and you get big plays because you're anticipating certain things and things have been revealed to you in the scouting report and things like that. So there's a lot more that goes into the game behind the scenes that, you know, when the regular season gets here, you know, that we get aided, you know, and different things like that. So.
And that's when the chess match takes place. What are you going to do on your last Sunday off before football starts?
Oh man, I'm probably gonna relax, do some yoga, you know, get my mind off, you know, do a little reading, and just relax a little bit, and you know, get ready for a 16-game journey.
Who's Finley play this week?
Finley is playing Saginaw Valley.
Really?
Yeah, Saginaw Valley up in Saginaw, Michigan. So I'm gonna check them out.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Man, good luck this year.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you for having
Thanks,
me, Tom.
Errol Jones-Forte, a first-time visitor to Bears All Access. We'll have you back before all is said and done. For executive producer Greg Miller and Paul Zarang, who helped us blast through the speakers of your radio, Tom Thayer, Zach Zaidman, saying so long. Thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon. This is the official radio home.